Are you ready to do something about your high credit card debt? Tired of paying double-digit interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? It's time to stop the madness. Get out of debt the safe and affordable way with Credit Card Relief. With Credit Card Relief, there are no upfront fees, no monthly maintenance fees, and no settlement fees. You don't pay anything until a debt is settled, all with a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's Credit Card Relief, managed by local attorneys in-state, with workout plans tailored to your debt situation. Get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving thousands in future bank fees. Call the original Credit Card Relief, where the consultation is free and the results are real.
Call 866-290-8282. Not available in all states. That's Credit Card Relief. 866-290-8282. 866-290-8282.
Blog Talk Radio.
Warning. Please be prepared to leave your comfort zone immediately. The construct and belief system that surrounds you will be deconstructed. We will take you beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality. Ever beyond.
Good evening and greetings and welcome to Ever Beyond Sunday, May the 1st. It's May Day, yes, the Beltane. New beginnings. There's a new moon just starting. I think that's on Monday. So there's an excellent time just now to let go of old things and begin to embrace the new. And that is the subject of the show tonight. And the subject is the crossroads. The crossroads is that point where you have to choose, or you appear to have to choose between one thing and another. And they seem to be completely disparate. They seem to be completely different directions. And maybe what I'm looking at tonight is how we can grab that dilemma. Grab that dilemma. In fact, a dilemma is it's a kind of goat. And it's a two-horned goat. So you don't know, you're on the horns of a dilemma is a very ancient phrase. And it's all based on goats. Meanwhile, back in the 21st century, we have many different challenges that are facing us just now. And the main thing is it seems to be like 1,000 different things. But really, they all come down to a one single choice. And that is the choice between what could be called a fear, or the choice between that and what we could call love. And no doubt, you know, if everybody was presented with that simple question, is it fear or is it love, you would be able to easily answer the question and easily see the solution to this dilemma, because one of them will be due to fears. And one of them will be due to love. And although they say, you know, it's almost a cliche, you know, love is all you need, and the answer to the question is love, and all these things, it really is. And I'll try to illustrate that a little more clearly. When we have a dilemma, we're faced with a choice. Now, it's very important when you're looking at these choices, if you feel that you have choices to make, to look at upon which level of existence each of your choices are. And it's very likely that you'll find that your choices are not, if you like, on the same level. For instance, there may be one choice that has to do with something that would be, for instance, a hobby type thing, or, you know, something that you're enthusiastic about. And the other thing may be something really not that important, although people do find it important, is a career. Because they think by identifying with a particular way of making money, that creates something about them that creates a certain credibility. Let's use that word. That's an NLP word. You know what NLP is? Well, look it up. Neuro-linguistic programming. And it works both ways. It works for us to program ourselves, but also that's how they, the powers that be, use their language to manipulate us. It's the way that we can cure ourselves of various ills because of our ways of thinking. But it can also be ways of being manipulated by those who are able to do it without us noticing. So we use a lot of words that have power to us, but we don't realize it. Our name, in fact, has power to us. You know, all it takes is for somebody to say your name in a sneering way and your name in a really nice way, and you can hear the difference. You can feel the difference. It's extremely powerful. So, the crossroads. Many people find themselves at this moment at the crossroads, or at an apparent crossroads. It's all part of the process, really. And the process is one of, let's put it this way, of enlightenment in the way, in the very serious canonical form of making yourself lighter, which is essentially what enlightenment means. It's nothing to do with having to sit in a cave for 100 years or sitting cross-legged and meditated or read 1,000 books or been to 1,000 masters. And it's nothing to do with that, really. It's all about being less serious about who you are, because it's that seriousness that shows gravity. It's the opposite of levity, of course. And when you have gravity, you find that there's something that is literally tying you down, something that is a force that you believe in. It's always about something that you believe in. And if you believe in something, then there is somebody who is the symbolic representative of that belief. Now, it could be one of your parents, it could be the Pope or your local priest or rabbi, but whoever it is, you trusted them and they told you something that you have taken on as a truth, and that's a belief. It may not be real, but it's what you were told, and it was told by someone that you trust and have credibility towards. Now, here's the bad news. Those beliefs aren't real. None of your beliefs are real. In fact, if you have a belief, it's guaranteed not to be real because it's a belief. Some people's beliefs are closer to reality of the way things are than others. But most of them, all of them, rely on a, how do I put this word? Somebody, an authority that says, this is the truth. Now, it could, if you're a medic, you know, and you're bonded by the rules of science, then it has to be something that is peer-reviewed and has a certain, what they call, credibility to the scientific process. That is, that you have a board of people who are supposed to be your peers, who are actually your superiors, and you submit to them, and they then say, well, I don't believe this, this can't be true, so we're not going to accept that. And so even if you've made a valid scientific discovery, it comes down to really the most ornery and stubborn of those gentlemen, and they almost always are gentlemen, no ladies in. That's what I'm saying. These gentlemen will only accept something that fits in with their truth. Now, that's all well and good, but what if these people are being paid by a corporate interest to have a particular point of view, particularly when it comes to, say, our health or our planetary environmental health, like like a nuclear power or something like that, it will have a great distinct difference effect on the way that the these peer reviews work. So we can't trust science. Most people have learned that the police are corrupt, so we can't trust them. A lot of people have learned that doctors and social workers are corrupt, so we can't trust them. We certainly can't trust politicians. And so it comes down to what you believe actually has to be something that comes from your own heart. And so tonight I'm recommending that you will get a book. And it's not a book by somebody that you'll have heard of, that other people may have heard of. It's a book by you, because what I'm recommending is you take a notebook. You get a notebook, you get a nice pen. And every night you have a conversation with yourself and see what happens. You just start off, say hello, see what happens, and write down what happens. And you will find that you will start a conversation with your own self, your own higher self, your own beingness, and that it will prove things to you about who it is, what its existence is, what the difference is between between real and unreal. And you will find that gradually you will become more and more spiritually oriented, because you're actually in communication and beginning to identify with that which we call your soul or your spirit. And so if anybody asks me, well, what books do you recommend I read? Well, I recommend that you write one. I know it sounds a bit harsh. Listen to my shows, yeah. Read some of the Tapestry books. Tapestry@sevenrays.info. That's all you need. You can download them from my sevenrays.info site as well. They are the most expensive books I've ever bought, and they're available completely for free from the website there, the sevenrays.info website. Tapestry of the Gods, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Volume 1 is all about the rays as they are, you know, the individual qualities of each of the rays. And there's only 7 of them. It's like not very difficult. And then the second book is the combinations of the rays. The rays as they apply to the soul and the personality combination. And this is really where I'm at. This is what I'm talking about. When I do a reading for somebody, yes, I doubt they're raised from using kinesiology and telepathy. But that's as far as it goes. From that point onwards, it's really very much like a psychic slide rule. And I can tell you things about how you are, how you'll become, just from those 2 numbers. Does that sound strange? Sounds a bit strange, really, but it's true. It's true. So, oh, look, you've got, there's quite a few people in the chat room. Hello, everybody. If anybody would like to call in, and I'll have a conversation with you, and particularly if you're at a crossroads, this is what it's about, people in the crossroads of their lives. Now, it often happens to be around the age of, from between about 28 to about 35 is the first real burst of, like, what the heck's going on. I've personally had a series of awakenings. First one is like moving out from my home, which was a very sheltered life, into the real world, meeting people, meeting other people, people from other families. Have you ever noticed everybody else's family seems weird? And we have, we've got some people in the chat room there. There's Chris and Tracy. That's great. Yeah, if you want to, you can sign up. Open a new window and sign up for Blog Talk Radio, and get yourself a an ID, and then you can have as much fun as Tracy and Funk Solar are having in the chat room there. It's always good to have an interaction with people. I find that it's a good place to meet people of like mind. The internet is a place where you meet people on the mental level first. And I'm not talking about, you know, pickup rooms and dating sites, but sites like these that where people are talking about things that other people are interested in. This is where you find kindred spirits. This is the place. So, extra DNA strands. I don't know about this DNA business. It's a long story. A long and twisted story. So, back to the crossroads. So the crossroads is the place where we have a dilemma, a potential dilemma. And now, before I was saying, have a look at what level each of the horns of this dilemma are. You know, is one to do with your whole lifetime, and is there another one to do with, like, what might be a temporary period in your life? Look at the time scale of these particular options. Another way of looking at it is it possible that in order to resolve the situation, I need to think on a different level of thinking? So perhaps I might be thinking in terms of my connections between myself and people, places, and things, whereas really I should be considering the connection between myself and my soul and my purpose. Because your purpose and your soul, they're the same thing, essentially. So we have our Canada. We have a potential crossroads situation where you may be asked to continue the life that you've been living, but at some cost to you, at some compromise. And the other choice is that you leave everything behind and start on to the completely new thing. As far as the soul's concerned, it doesn't like compromise. And if you find that you've been in a compromise situation, there's something that is beating inside you that is trying to get out. That part of you that's trying to get out, that's your soul. And it's your true beingness. And it doesn't always come up straight away. Sometimes it may be buried for years. And then something will trigger it. And you realize, hang on a second, this is not the situation that I want to be in, that I've ever wanted to be in, but that I've sacrificed something, I've compromised something that's really important, and that's me. That you end up spending all of your time for something or someone else, and you have no time to express your own inner self, which is what you've come here for, which is your life purpose. So, I've got somebody calling in. Let's see what they're doing. Oh, yes, I do like a caller. I've got 10 minutes or so. Hello.
Hello, Jay. It's Tracy from Canada.
It's Tracy from Canada. Are you at a crossroads?
Actually, I think I just finished my third crossroads, actually, last evening. So, still works. Saw the crossroads. Chose a side.
So, would you like to share with our audience what the nature of your crossroads was and how you solved it?
Well, for me, I've been feeling an overwhelming sense of dread, Jay. Pain and suffering and I have to admit it. It's been overwhelming for me. There's no other words. Wherever I turned, there was more bad news. And I realize the social engineering that we get on the pulsating box of TV and most of the radio, and wherever we look, it seems to be just bad stuff. And I've been studying more about clouds and the sun and cosmic radiation and the moon and the Anunnaki and reptilians and all kinds of things, because I'm curious and my mind likes to keep busy. But finally, last night, and it was in the middle of the night, it was like a message, and I'll call it a dream, where I just remembered, you know, I was born here, on this planet, with all these amazing, beautiful things around me. And, you know, if we keep looking out, we're not going to see what's here.
Yeah.
And like you said, with, you know, the nuclear radiation, there's only so much this planet can take. There are so many things going on. We're in the Oort cloud right now. There's a cosmic cycle. There's the sun. But we've been through all these things. What's the difference now? The difference can be part of the nuclear stuff that's been going on here in this planet. And for me, I guess what I've decided is to worry about right here, right now. Do I want to stay here, or do I want to go off in a ship? I want to stay here.
Yeah.
I love this planet.
Yeah, it's really nice. And actually, when you wait for the ships to go away, then all of our problems have gone.
Yeah, you know, and we can get on the ship and go. Or we can, you know, love the green grass and the pretty trees and the beautiful flowers and the animals running around around us. And, you know, are they sitting around talking about, can't drink this water now, but what about those aliens? I don't think so.
So we're not going to be, I think really there's a sense of what we have to do is to become less and less attached. And that's really what these crossroads points are, right? When it comes down to it, it's all about attachment. And what happens is, as you pass the crossroads, that thing that you're attached to is going to pull you off one way. But you know, and it's what you really love and all of those good things, that's the direction that you really need to go. And so what you actually have to do is to give up the illusion of what that thing, people, person, place was offering you.
Yeah. And I felt... Now, I was one of the lucky ones, I have to admit, where my father, my grandmother allowed me to experience different things, see different things, believe different things that most people don't in their everyday life. And I felt strange and isolated the majority of my life when I started to look at groups of people, even in school, and thought, oh my God, this is so wrong. You know, they're ringing a bell like it's a dog being trained. And I would mention that, and I stood in the corner often because I would mention that. And I felt other for so long. Till when I got in high school, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to ignore everything I know just to survive in this place, because I felt that was my only choice. So I guess that was my first crossroads, and my next was realizing I can't live in that place. So what do you do when you've now set yourself up with dual natures? It leaves you open to a lot, right? So here I am again, and your own nature, as you always say, you know, will bang on every door it has to till it gets your attention. It will knock you down if it has to get your attention. And, well, you know, I have that MS, which is weird because it's not been in my family. Mine comes and goes. And sometimes it knocks me down, Jay, to the point where can't move, can't feel, can't talk, can't swallow, any of these things. And it was coming on. And I've always felt it like this. It's like some possessing entity almost, you know. And at the time I just said, okay, what are you trying to tell me that I'm not listening?
Ah, good. Good. Yes, go on.
And I laid down and waited and said, nothing fancy, not a long prayer, I didn't do a special chant or shake the crystals or turn around 3 times or any of those things. I just laid down and said, what? I'm listening. Just tell me, please.
Yeah. And with all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so here I am, listening to the mother. And, you know, if I had a choice between standing with this planet or leaving her, I'd stay here. I'd fight here. You know, if we have to fight, if we have to do that kind of thing. I still think it's not in our nature to fight. I still don't believe that. I thought that way for a while, but no. My basic thing, I think this is all social engineering stuff that we've been trained is part of us for a long time. But I don't know. I just don't see that when I see kids playing.
It feels like an artificial program that is imposed on our natural beingness. And if you are aware of what can be artificial and what can be not artificial, then it's easier to discern what it is and kind of peel it away from your skin.
Yeah.
It's like we've all been dipped in wax in an attempt to make us become conformist. But the wax doesn't change the fact that we can move underneath it, and all we need to do is move slightly, and the wax will just crack away.
Exactly, and it's why it has to be reinforced so much. How they teach children in school, the only way you can succeed is to please the superior and conform. The only way you succeed in the army is to take the frustration of constant trauma and being yelled at and being berated, and they give them a gun and say, go kill. Of course they will. And we wonder why they come home and they're a mess. We wonder why kids leave school and they're a mess. We wonder why we leave school and all this stuff and we're a mess and can't talk to each other and can't be around each other.
And can't express ourselves.
Yeah, we can't talk because we've been trained not to. We've been trained everyone else is the enemy. And we all have to get our own stuff. And, you know, everyone, even your mate, could possibly be against you. We should probably do something about that.
I mean, yeah, like in the event.
Yeah, like in everything. And yeah, on TV they reinforce it over and over again. Trauma, hate. And, you know, with social engineering, their basic premise is fear is a better teacher than love. And that's reinforced with everything.
Yep. All right, got 90 seconds to the show. 90 seconds.
And I've been hogging
call in.
Come on,
but we've been talking with Tracy, and this has been a very interesting little conversation. It's all about the crossroads in life, where you have to make a change, And that changes usually 90% of the time to do with an attachment of some kind that is attached there because of a belief system, and that belief system is pinned there by an authority. When you realize those processes inside you, you're able to pull them out one by one. They're like prickles from a porcupine. And one day you're free from all those little spikes in you, which cause you to become not who you are, really. And I think that's about the show, but we've got 15 minutes more, so we can discuss further, and you can call in the next show. Thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week. Tracy, don't go away. So that's the end of the show. So we are now the people can't hear us anymore, but we're still online and recording. You still there, Tracy? I think you must have put the phone down. Well, I'll just mute you. okay. Okay, you can jump in. But anyway, so I think I'll, yeah. Tracy, are you there? Yeah. Well, we were talking about the crossroads, and it's all about attachments. Yes, attachments are the key to enlightenment. Attachments are the things that cause gravity. Attachments to a belief system. What does that exactly mean? Well, it means that you may be, for instance, caught up in the belief system of money. Money is a belief system. It's created by, at the moment, a banking system, but we have to realize that it's all about representation and symbolic things. And money is simply a symbol of energy. It doesn't have to be gold. It could be pieces of paper. This is, in fact, what a check is. There's nothing special about a check. It might have magnetic ink on it, but it can be easily typed into the computer just as well as it will be read on the thing. It's just to speed things up. It's a piece of paper that says, move this number from my account to this other person's account. So that's all a check is. And all a bank is a place where those symbolic representations remain. Where they remain. Oh, yes, there's Chris wanting to come in. So I'll add him there. And Chris, are you there? No, he's just calling. There you are. Hello, Chris.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good. I'm nice.
How has your week been in terms of decisions? Have you had to sort of look at things that you were... have you had to let go of things this week?
Yes, it's been quite up and down and left and right and kind of all over the place the past couple of weeks, JP. You know, I'm at that position. I'm, you know, 38, and as I discussed with you before, you know, you sparked a comment from last week's show. You said, you know, you get to that particular age, you want to start making your, you know, quote-unquote mark on the world, and I'm really feeling like that right now. And you mentioned some great kind of loaded words, you know, kind of gravitas and levity, and I've always had that thing about myself. People say, oh, you're really serious, let go, you know, open your heart. And there really is a point to that, because the harder you try, the more you get weighed down. And what I'm involved in with theatre, I mean, and this goes on so many levels that, you know, less is more, less is more. I mean, it's a great mantra to have on so many levels.
Absolutely. So the energy is to be able to tread lightly on the world, not to kind of clod foot it all the way through, stamping on people's feelings and emotions, is to learn to tread lightly on the grass.
And to
lighten up. Like I was saying before, enlightenment is not about being clever or being wise. It's about being light. It's about not having to take everything seriously. And in the point when you're completely not taking anything seriously, you're at that stage when, for instance, somebody, a famous singer, might walk on stage and they appear to be completely carefree. You know, and they just do what they do. That's what I'm talking about being light, being happy-go-lucky. That's really, truly being a light being, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you, like I was talking to a family member about this later on, and this is fantastic because, you know, the title of your show was called Crossroads, and I was listening to a great piece from YouTube earlier on, a friend sent me through Facebook where I think there's this movie called Crossroads from like 1986, and you have Steve Vai versus the guy Ralph Macchio from the Karate Kid, and they're having dueling guitars, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is great. You know, they're trying to outdo each other. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. But we were talking about that whole thing, myself and the family member, about just let it be, accept where you are right now, and it makes complete sense because when you just let go in the now. You know, you see that again and again with people. It's like this fantastic stuff. I mean, miracles happen. They just kind of hit them out of nowhere, and they're unexpected. But if you're digging and plodding so hard for these particular things to happen, whether it's for material wealth or whatever it may be, it's just it ain't going to be like that. It's like if you have that want, if you have that need for the universe, it's going to work pretty much against you. You know, so
it's just the
yeah, it makes sense.
It's just that the universe gives you what you vibrate to rather than what you desire. And so if you're vibrating to violence, then you'll get violence. And so, you know, you're walking along the street and you're thinking, oh, if that person jumps out at me, I'm going to stab them with my knife. If that person jumps out on me, I'll shoot them with my gun, you know, et cetera. You know, what you end up with is being knifed or being shot. Whereas if you're walking along the street thinking nothing, if possible, or if you're in a place where you can be where you can just be thinking happy thoughts, being in that happy place, that keeps you protected.
Yes, indeed.
That's what protects you. You know, because you're not vibrating on that frequency anymore, you're invisible to them. This is the essential thing about that that crystal that I was playing around with in London. It causes a vibration, and it causes a field of vibration. And that field of vibration is so completely different from the field of vibration of most people that it doesn't get noticed. It doesn't attract attention. Somebody else's problem.
Mm-hmm. But you know, again, going back to that to that point, I can completely relate to this specific kind of crossroads, kind of no guts, no glory. Just, you know, as you said, JP, it's like the time is now. Get your finger out. It's just it's right now. Can't waste any more time. It's kind of it's all nothing.
As so
Ada Wang said, it's Oklahoma. You,
Chris, Mr. Funk Soul. What is it? What is it? What are you going to... What is brewing in you? Because you're at that crossroads. What is your dilemma? And do you know which road you're going to take?
It's... What I feel, JP, is that there is a couple of roads there, which is absolutely fine, which is part of who I am. A couple of roads which I can...
never lose Chris. You just dropped out completely. You're still there, mate. Ah, there's a problem with that call. So, anyway. There we go, 9 minutes past. So, we'll see how Chris gets on there. And where we are. We were talking about how Crossroads is and our dilemma. And Chris was about to explain what his dilemma was, and then he got killed by Skype. That's what they do, these Skype killers. What can you do? So, we'll try for a little bit more, a little bit longer. Oh, there is come online again. And there, Chris, are you back?
Yes, my internet's been acting up.
Just as you were getting to the interesting bit. Okay, so.
Yeah, just continue on. Yeah, basically, it's the fear of failure. It is the fear of failure, and it's been ever so hard in oneself, you know, and just being too serious about kind of like lots of these particular things. And but yeah, it's something that we can all relate to. It's that, you know, when you take that step, that fear of failure, and when something happens, if something does get you, you know, which some things have happened to me in the past couple of years, it's building up that confidence to move forward, move right outside what's happened as well, getting outside the safe space, being a little bit more riskier. That would be my thing, if that makes a bit of sense to you.
Absolutely. Well, this is beyond the comfort zone we're talking, you know. I want to take people out of their comfy zones into a new comfy zone, into a new place where I can say, look, here it is, there's the light switch, this is where the toilet is, relax, you know, you're safe. Because there's a whole new world that is available to everybody if they just change their minds. That's all it takes. And this mind change is represented by the crossroads. It's the change of being so attached to something. And like I said, it's usually to do with fear, and it's usually to do with the belief. Because it's locking into belief systems that create the fears in the first place. I mean, for instance, the belief system that there is a badass God, some invisible badass person who, if you do the slightest thing wrong, is going to in some way hurt you in another time. Yeah, okay, that makes sense a lot. But anyway, that's what a lot of people are thinking, and that's what drove our parents, and it's drove our grandparents and so on. But it drives us a lot less because we're more responsible for ourselves. And what we're looking at is to become completely sovereign, completely responsible, which also means that you're not scared of anybody. Because what can anybody do? Imagine that you're in a position where you're not... there's no danger of you being knocked off your own pedestal, because you know you're standing on the ground. You're not standing on a pedestal. And the pedestal doesn't belong to anybody. It's you. You're completely standing on your feet. And what that means metaphorically is, you know, what that's a metaphor is that everything that you know why you know it as well as you know it. You know, for instance, we may be subject to a belief system and we don't even know it. Here's one. I mean, and I've often mentioned these things, memes. I've got 2 minutes. Memes in 2 minutes. One meme, for instance, is rock stars die of drug overdoses. Another meme is that Islamists are terrorists and dangerous and hate us. You know, these are not true. They're memes. They're promulgated in the press. They're created by the powers that be, and they're promulgated by the press and by our parents and by our friends, because they read it in the newspaper and they take it on. It's not true. It appears to be true, and it certainly props up a whole lot of lies that have been put to us. You know, what if Jimi Hendrix didn't die from a drug overdose? What if Brian Jones didn't die from a drug overdose? You know, then that meme starts getting shaky. And in the same way that 9/11 was done by terrorists, that's a meme. You know, yes. It's not true. It's a story that was created to explain away some other trick, and it's literally a conjuring trick, and it's also literally an insurance job. But we won't go into that right now, because it's nearly 1 minute to go. So, but we, you know, I think people should bring this up. So maybe I should talk more about memes. Memes are what they talk about. You know, people who can be mind controlled. They say there's 15%. 15% of us can't be mind controlled because we're aware of memes. Once you become aware of memes, you're no longer subject to them, because then every truth or truism that comes your way can be questioned. Is this a meme? Where did this come from? Who said this? Who said that in the first place? Where did that come from?